I'd like to draw your attention to the Gospel of Mark. Let's start in the first chapter, first verse, the Gospel of Mark. In the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. We'll stop this. Last time we met in the evening, we talked about the subject of repentance. If it be the Lord's will, this evening, I'd like to talk about the subject of baptism. This was new. This was different. You don't get the name John the Baptist if you're doing something everybody else is doing, okay? This is different. And we learn that John didn't make this up. He was commissioned of an angel to preach this gospel and to baptize. So what are we talking about here? What does the word mean? You know, you go and you look at Strong's to find out what the Greek word for baptism is, and you find out it's baptism. The word is transliterated. It is not translated. And the Greek word literally means dip, or immerse. And John did this in Jordan because he needed a lot of water. Not just a little bit. He needed a lot of water because he dipped, or completely immersed, the subject in water. And it was a type of cleansing. Now, we do not believe that the waters of baptism have the power to wash away your sins. They don't. Peter says it's not to the putting away of the filth of flesh. But it is an answer of a good conscience towards God. If we remember, under a law service, if you became unclean, and you could become unclean very easily, in fact, I don't know how anybody stayed clean. Okay? And it's the same with our world today, if we're honest with ourselves. We get dirty all the time, both physically and spiritually. Okay? So under the law, if you were to become unclean in any way, most ways, you would wash. You would take a bath, basically, immerse yourself completely in water, and then in the evening, because that's the new day, the evening and the morning of the first day, in the evening, you were clean. So, confessing our sins, because confession comes first. Repenting of our sins, because repentance comes first. I don't want to re-preach repentance, but I do want you to understand that John refused to baptize those who would not repent, those who did not believe they had a need to repent. They were not qualified candidates. We use terms, some of these aren't biblical terms, but we use terms like candidate for baptism. What do you mean candidate? A candidate for baptism. See, in order to be a valid candidate for baptism, you must know you are a sinner. You must repent, confess, and repent. Now, we don't believe that that washes away your sins. That was done another way. We'll talk about that, Lord willing. In fact, that's really what I want to talk about. But it is the answer of a good conscience toward God. We come out of that water with a good conscience. Now, you had a good conscience before, but you come out with a clean conscience, not because the water makes you clean, but because the Savior has made you clean. And it is, and it ought to be, a joyous occasion to follow in the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We read about Philip and the eunuch, and after the eunuch was baptized, it says they went on their way rejoicing. Rejoicing. But now I'm going to pick on you. I'm sorry. Did anybody remember when Sister Mallory was baptized? Yeah, because you were in the water right next to her. She was excited when she came out of the water, wasn't she? She was excited when she came out of the water. You were happy, weren't you? Either I'm ready to deceive or you were happy. It is a wonderful thing. It is a joyous thing to take up our cross and follow the Lord in gospel baptism. When Jesus came out of the water, God said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And brethren, I don't believe I'm taking too many liberties if I say unto you that the God in heaven is well pleased with each and every one of His children follow Him in gospel baptism. He is always well pleased with our obedience. Okay, fathers in the room. Okay? Fathers in the room here. Now, I know it doesn't happen as much as we'd like it to happen, right? But did you know that joy that we have when our children are actually obedient? Okay? When they actually do what we told them to do? They listened? No, not that bad. But the point I'm making is, there is a joy in the heart of a father, and I can't speak for you mothers, but I'm assuming it's the same, when our children obey. Especially because we know that there are blessings in obedience. And when we can see our children reaping the good fruit of obedience, it is a joy in our hearts. When we can see our children enjoying the happiness and the joy that comes from obedience to us, but more importantly to the Lord. And there is great joy in obedience unto the Lord. So we see that baptism is a commandment. It's not an option. It's a commandment. Okay? In the day after Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, actually, when Peter had laid the blood of Christ at their feet, they knew there was wrath determined against them and against their city for the suffering that was meted out on Christ Jesus. But don't get me wrong, He was delivered up by the determining counsel of God. He was there knowing full well. He knew exactly where Judas Iscariot was going to meet Him. And He chose to be there anyway. Although they nailed Him to a cross, they did not take my Savior's life. He said, "I have power laid out my life, and I have power to raise it up again. Nevertheless, they were still guilty. And the blood of righteous Abel to Zacharias would be meted out upon Jerusalem. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter told them, be baptized. Confess, repent, and be baptized. Not because it was going to save their soul from the lake of fire. If their soul wasn't already saved from the lake of fire, they would not have been pricked in their heart. Their heart had to be alive. Have you ever tried to prick a stone? You can't prick a stone. But you can prick flesh. You can prick flesh. Those stones, if they were cut to the heart, they weren't pricked in the heart. Okay? So that pain in our heart. You know what I'm talking about? I hope you know what I'm talking about. I hope you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the pain in our heart when we come to realize our disobedience unto the living God, the Creator of all that is seen and unseen, our Father, through our protection. When we come to realize that our blood guiltiness, there is a pain in our heart. The waters of baptism are an answer to that good conscience. Now, I want to turn to Romans. Turn to Romans 6. Because I want you to understand something. Everything we do in the New Testament church preaches the gospel. Everything. If we fail to see Jesus in our ordinances, they're no longer honoring Him. The law, every aspect of the law was designed to show forth the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. But they saw the ordinances, they did not see the Savior. John saw the Savior. Why else would he say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world? Those are the words of a man who sees Jesus in the law. He sees Jesus as the Passover lamb. He sees Jesus as the scapegoat. He sees Jesus as the red heifer whose ashes purge our uncleanness. And our ordinances are designed to show Jesus. So let's look together in the 6th chapter, 1st verse of Paul's letter to the Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I'm going to stop there. Paul does not. And the rest of this chapter is excellent. I strongly encourage you to read it. But what we see here in baptism is it preaches the gospel. What is the gospel? 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What did Paul just say baptism reason why? We are buried with Christ under the water. And we are raised with Christ out of the water. It's designed to show us the death of Jesus. Because the gospel is, the good news is, He died for our sins. Everybody dies, right? If the Lord tarries, we will all die. But there's a difference between my death and Christ's death. I am a sinner. The tail end of the sixth chapter says the wages of sin is death. So because I am a sinner, I have earned death. And He's right that I should die. Jesus was not a sinner. He knew no sin. There was no guile found in His mouth. Yet He died. Do you understand the great contradiction of God there? Christ, who knew no sin, was not subject to sin, therefore was not subject unto death. The living God died for your sins. The express purpose of His death was to atone for your sins. He died for no other purpose than to take your place in judgment. If He had not given up His life, they could not have taken it from Him. You understand that? If He had not given up His life, they could not have taken it from Him. And to be honest, I believe, I know it's not good English, but I don't care. I believe He was deader on the cross than He was in the grave. Why do I say that? In the morning, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But during the course of His crucifixion, while He yet breathed, while He was alive physically, the sun refused to shine, and He cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Brethren, that is what it means to die. Giving up the ghost, nothing. Being forsaken of God, that is death. Jesus endured the fullness of the wrath of God as God forsook Him. He endured the fullness of the lake of fire while He hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth for your sins, for my sins. He paid the price. He was buried. We lay the candidate completely beneath the water. In so doing, they are buried symbolically with Christ. Baptism is a death. We die to self. We die to sin. It's a death. We have to die to the carnal man. I wish it would kill him, but it doesn't quite work that way. Okay? But we make the commitment to die to the natural man and to live with Christ. So we come forth out of the water. If you go under the water and don't come out of the water, we haven't done it right. Coming out of the water is the important part. You've got to go all the way under the water, but coming out of the water is the important part. Because Jesus rose He did. He rose from the dead. That was for you and me. The price he paid before he was buried. It was. In the end of the day, he said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And I believe that when he gave up the ghost, the Father received him into paradise. Why? Because he had a date to keep. He made a promise. The God the Son outline made a promise. He told that one thief today. That meant before the sun set. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's why I say he was better on the cross than he was in the tomb. He wasn't in those tombs for 3 days and three nights, paying for your sin debt. The sin debt was already paid. The 3 days and three nights in the tomb was a sign. It was the sign of Jonah. And that's a story for another day. Okay? It was a sign of Jonah. It was a sign for those people so that they would know he really did die. He didn't swoon. He really did die. Because if he hadn't been dead when they put him in and said he was, he would have been dead by the end of 3 days and three nights. Okay? He would have gone into shock and he would have died in the tomb if he hadn't been dead when they brought him down from the cross. But he was dead when they brought him down from the cross because he had already given up the ghost. And when the centurion pierced his side, water and blood flowed out, that was another clear indication that he was already dead. But after 3 days and three nights, as he told them what happened, he arose. He arose. And that is the stamp on our sin debt. Paid in full. And when we follow the Lord in gospel baptism, we attest that our hope is laid in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we commit to die to self, to die to the old man, and to walk in newness of life. And it's not just wouldn't it be good if it was a one and done? I did that. It doesn't work that way. Now, Jesus died exactly once. And we're baptized once. Because he died once. But we die to self every day. We get up every morning and start all over again. We recommit ourselves to walk with Jesus each and every day. And I know that's my struggle, and that was Paul's struggle. And I see some heads going north and south, so some people know what I'm talking about. It is a daily recommitment to following the Lord. But that initial time, that when we come forward and we preach the gospel, we declare the good news. It's great when people just watch. I love the baptistry at Mount Carmel. It's beautiful. It's very convenient. And this time of year, it's really nice. Okay? But there's something about in the open, where the world can see. And if you were baptized in the baptistry of Mount Carmel, your baptism is no less valid than if you were baptized in the river or in the ocean or in a pond someplace. I think that obviously John baptized in the river. I believe Paul was baptized. It looks to me like Paul was baptized inside. Okay? It's all valid. But I like the open, because I like the way